Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, when you get your Bibles, go ahead and take your seat and let's go. I'm not going to ask you to go to the Word of God just yet. I want to talk to you about something that's going to be taking place over the next few weeks here at the Rock. I want you to know that we're going to step away from the book of Galatians. We go, for those of you that are new, line upon line, precept upon precept in the Word of God. That's how God wrote it. You ought to be able to understand it that way. But we're going to step away. We happen to be years now in the wonderful text of Galatians, and we're going to step away until literally after Easter. I'm going in for a little surgical procedure. There's my doctor on the second row, right? There's really not a doctor. He's just very spiritual, and I'm going to let him do the work. I'm only kidding. Of course, he's a surgeon. He's going to take care of me, and I'm going to be out for about 10 days, but I'll be here, and you know, coming back to church. I'm just not going to be in the pulpit area. During that period of time, you're going to have some great people in the pulpit area. As you know, we have a great pastoral staff, strong. Any one of them could be lead pastors themselves, and they're just absolutely wonderful. So we're going to have a great time. Then we're coming back to Easter and Easter a couple weeks before Easter. And I've got a series that I want to start out of Galatians about how to deal with your flesh and how you can control your flesh instead of your flesh controlling you. You know, all those anxieties you have, all those emotions you carry, all those deep desires and passions that you have that you can't seem to get away from. I'll show you how to do that when we get back in Galatians. And it's so important that I don't want to break it up here and there and start again and stop again. I want to just wait until after Easter and get into that series the right way. Today, we're going to do something. Today, this is called, if you will, Build on the Rock. Because what we're doing, it's a presentation for the 2009 Miracle Birthday Offering, which is going to take place June 27th and June 28th. And today we're kind of kicking off the program. And when you drove in, you most likely saw some yellow flags up on our poles that said, Build on the Rock. And I want to explain what that's all about. Every year, starting last year, this is our second year, on our birthday or around our birthday, we have a birthday miracle offering. It's something that people bring in special from themselves to the Lord to build the kingdom of God. It's over and above our tithe and over and above our offering. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking what I've been thinking for the last few months. I've wrestled with God about it, had every demonic spirit you can possibly imagine on me, trying to get me to stop from doing this program because of the economics of our nation. That therefore there's crisis in our nation. Here we are in a place where there's great difficulties. Here we are in a place where there's not just recession, but in many areas, depression. And we find people that are jobless and out. And I want you to know something. There is not going to be any pressure on you at all. That doesn't work around this house. But when I was taking this to the Lord over and over again, God keeps speaking to me, don't give place to the devil. Don't stop something that you've started that's good for the building of the kingdom of God because there's pressures in the world system. There will always be pressures in this world system, and we are not backing off because the world's got a problem. Now, in our group, there are people who want to make an offering to the Lord the very best they can that are unable to do that. I realize that. There are people that will make offerings and don't even want to make an offering. There are people that will want to make an offering and plan to make an offering and do the very best they can because they understand the principles behind this. And that's where I want to take you today. If not anything else, here's what I'm asking of you today. I want you just to listen closely because no matter where you're at, no matter what church you're in, if you're a Christian and you're going to learn something about giving today that most likely you've never heard before. And I want you to know that anytime we get an opportunity to grow, We ought to take that opportunity to grow so that we can do things the right way and not just the way we think it ought to be done. So I'm asking you just to listen closely to the things of God. Let me take you, and I'll just pop it up on the overhead, if you will. Jesus is confronted by one of his disciples. His name's Peter. In fact, Jesus confronts Peter and he says, Peter, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, they say you're one of the prophets. They say you're Jeremiah. They say you're Elisha. They say that you are John the Baptist. They say a lot of things about you. And then Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Peter, tell me, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love those words. And he says, Peter, no flesh and blood reveal that to you. That was a revelation from God. And he says, and then he goes on to the next verse. Let's just pop up the next verse. Verse number 18 of the 16th chapter says this. And Jesus said to Peter, he says, on this rock, in other words, on the revelation of the knowledge that you know by God that I am the Son of God. He says, upon that revelation rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, here's what he said. Upon the understanding of who Jesus is, I will build my church. Some people think that the church is built on Peter. It's not. The cornerstone tells us of the church has got to be Jesus Christ, not a man. And we find ourselves in a place of looking at upon this that God says, I will build my church. And whether you know it or not, you are the church God wants to build. You are the house of God. You are the one God lives on the inside. Now I want to take you, if I may, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, with the idea in mind, keep in mind that he wants to build his church upon the revelation of who Jesus is, the rock. Okay, and he comes along. And he makes this statement in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse number 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Let me stop you right there. I want you to look back at me for a moment. My father used to have a statement. It was a great statement. I heard it all my life from my dad. He said these words. He said, make a plan and work a plan. I heard that. If I heard it 1,000 times, I heard it 1,000,000 times in my life. This is what my father said. He said these words, make a plan, work a plan. And oftentimes he'd say a lot of people make plans, but very few people work the plan. And I've always kept that as a motto in my life. But Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, you hear the word doesn't do you any good until you go out and do them. And you've got to come to a place where every one of us are going to not only hear what Jesus says, but we're going to do them. When you become a doer of what you hear, let me say it again so none of you miss it. Listen closely again. When you become a doer of what you heard Jesus say in the scripture, because Jesus is the word of God, he says, when you become a doer, then he says this. He says these words, I will liken him unto a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Remember this, on the revelation of who Jesus is how you build your home, your marriage, your children, how you build your future, make wise business decisions, whatever it is that you're going to be doing in order to build your house. And then the next verse has come, the storms of life will come, but one who's built on a rock won't fail, but the one who's not built on the rock, and we're seeing it in today's economy, totally fail. So this gives us an insight for every single one of us that we're going to have to hear the Word of God on how to do things. And when we do things according to what we hear from the Word of God, then we're building our lives, our house, on the rock. And when the storms of life come, and they do come, as you're experiencing with the economy today, then what you will find is you won't fail. Amen. And so God gives us great insight. Now, when it comes along to bringing something to the Lord like a special offering, or to do something for the Lord, there's a way of doing it that becomes really pleasing to God. I'm going to give you the scenario, and then I'm going to take you to the scriptures. I want you to, while you're listening to me, is that okay? Can you do two things at one time? I know you can. Can you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 29th, in 1 Chronicles 29. In 1 Chronicles 29, here's a story of David and his son Solomon. David has always desired to do something, build the house of God. Now, for those of you who don't understand Old Testament relationship with New Testament, let's talk just for a moment. Because you've got to understand that the Old Testament is a similitude. It is an example in the physical of what should take place in the spiritual. Is anybody listening? In other words, the physical examples, the stories are not for history lessons in the Old Testament. The physical examples and stories of the Old Testament are given as spiritual truths that apply in the New Testament. So when I hear about King David, who was the greatest king there ever was, and he had a son by the name of Solomon, who became a really incredible and powerful, wise king, we find that David wanting to build the house of God. And guess what? For all of us, we ought to want to build the house of God. The house of God is in two places. One, the house of God is described in Scripture as you. You are the house of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The second place is described in Scripture is the place where you gather and you collectively bring your gifts to the Lord. And I don't mean just money. I'm talking about your talents, your abilities, like you see on the platform. That's the house of God. That's here. And from here, that is distributed out to a lost and dying world. Everybody follow me. And David wants to build the house of God, a similitude of what you and I ought to be like today. But he's not allowed to build it because he's got too much blood on his hands. So his son Solomon, who's much younger, is going to build it. And so he does something. In 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, the first, I don't want you to read this. We'll go back and read it in a minute. Let me explain it to you. The first 9 verses gives us insight into something that's vitally important for your existence as a Christian. Let me say it again. The first 9 verses gives us insight that is vitally important on how you can build your house, your life, your church, that is vitally important to you as a Christian. And you've got to hear that. But I'm not going to take you to verse number 1 just yet. I'll come back to that in a moment. I'm taking you now to verse number 10. This is after everything has been done in the first 9 verses. And I want to point out something in verse number 10 to you. Are you following me? Let's just pop it up on the overhead. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." Now, here is what I want you to see. And I want you to get this. Are you listening? Because if you don't get this, you're going to miss everything that God wants to do in your life between now and the time that Jesus Christ comes. That's how important it is that you hear what I'm going to say to you next. Wake up and hear what I'm going to say to you. This is vital for your importance in existence on this planet as a Christian. Are you ready? I got your attention. I think I do. Here's what it says. Now look what it says. Sometimes you read things, you don't know what it says. Therefore, David blessed the Lord. You know, when I come to church, you bless me. You come and tell me at the back door, "Pastor, I really got a lot out of that message. Pastor, it was a great thing. You spoke just to me." Sometimes I'll meet with you and you'll say, "My whole life has changed. I've grown more in the last 3 months since I've been in this church than the 5 years prior to in my existence as a Christian." And you bless me. And then sometimes I will bless you. I will share the word of God with you. It'll drop down in your heart. And I will bless you. In other words, we bless each other. And then we love it when God blesses us. I love it when God blesses me with this or answers my prayer with that, or God drops in my heart his security. And wow, I just love it when God just blesses me. So what I've just described is you bless me, I bless you, we bless each other, God blesses us. But how often do we live a life to bless the Lord? I mean, how do you bless God who has everything? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He breathes and planets and solar systems come out of his existence. My goodness, they come from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. That's why the solar systems are constantly growing. God speaks, and he holds it all together by the power of his might. Every breath you take is because of the responsibility of the one who sits at the throne of God. My goodness, how in the world can I, a finite human on this planet, bless the Lord? Oftentimes you will read this, and almost every, in fact, every commentary that I read on this said David blessed the Lord with what he said afterwards. But it's not what he said afterwards. Afterwards, he makes a big statement. He says, before all of the assembly, David said, blessed are you, Lord of Israel, our Father forever and ever. And he goes on and on and on, verse after verse. And he says, that's how he blessed God. That's not what it means at all. Proof. Notice what it says. And David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And then David said. And also, it was really interesting because how David finally brought himself to a place where he blessed the Lord wasn't with just words. We come into the house of God, we bless God with our words, we sing songs, we tell him how wonderful he is. But you know, words are cheap sometimes. See the word therefore before the name David? It means it's there for a reason. It's there for the previous nine verses, and what he did in the previous nine verses was something that blessed the Lord. That's what the word therefore. In other words, therefore, because of what I just said in the previous nine verses, therefore, David blessed the Lord, and then he said. Now, what takes place in the very next past nine verses is what's life-changing. This is, if I may share it with you, and as a kickoff to our program in Building on the Rock, whether you bring something or don't bring something on June 27th as a special offering or not, isn't the issue. Here is the real issue of every time you bring something to bless the Lord. And this is what it's all about. I want to read to you because I want to show you how to bless God with your giving, because the first nine verses describe someone giving that blessed the Lord. Are we following each other? How to bless God with our giving. If we're going to come and bring something in June 27, 28 and celebrate together, we're going to have to do it and be a blessing to God. How do we do that? Will we just bring money? Does money bless God? He's got everything he needs. What do we bring? More than money. Here's what I'm going to do. Usually I will give you a point and then give you a verse that supports the point. Follow me? Not going to do that today. Today I'm going to read a verse, give you the point, and then we're going to come back and see it in the verse. Makes it a little more fun, but I know you can handle that. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, let's take a look. I want to bring something to you on how to bless God with your giving. This is going to be number one, but let me read, if you may, out of verse number 1 and 2, 1 Chronicles 29. In 1 Chronicles 29, I better get there if I'm going to read it. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 1 says, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great because of the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Verse number 2. Now, for the house of my God I have prepared with all of my might gold for the things which are to be made of gold, and silver for the things that are to be made of silver, and bronze for the things that are to be made of bronze, and iron for the things which are made of iron, and wood for the things that are made of wood, and onyx and stones and glittering stones and various colors and all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. In other words, here's David bringing something to build the house of God. Now, here is point number 1. Can I share it with you? Here it is. You put yourself behind it. Put yourself behind your giving. If you don't put yourself into this, it becomes cheap. God's not looking for something from your wallet. I've said that 1,000 times. Nor is he looking for something from your checkbook. I've said that 5,000 times. God's not looking for something from your savings account. I've said that 1,000,000 times. God's looking for something that you have put your life behind. And when you put your life behind it, now it becomes something special. Like we saw Ronell. If you've noticed Ronell leading that group, he didn't just stand there and sing. Man, he was all into it. And that's so cool that when you can put your life into something, it is without a doubt. David made this statement. David wanted to offer a sacrifice to God. Comes to a man, says, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God. The man says to David, I have got a threshing floor, David. I'll give it to you, and I'll even give you the sheep. I've got the sheep, and then you can offer there on my flesh threshing floor the sheep. David looked at the guy. Here's what David said. You got to be kidding. I'm doing this, and this is San Bernardino translation. You got to be kidding, because I wouldn't offer to God something that doesn't cost me something. So instead of getting it free, most of us had taken it free and offered it to God. David said, no, I will pay for it. In other words, it's got to cost me something to bring something to God. In other words, I'm not just giving something, I'm putting myself in it. Is anybody listening? Now, well, let me say this to you. If you don't make what you bring to God as important, it'll never be important to God. That's why the widow's mite wasn't the amount, it was what was brought to God. Why? Because it was important. It was her life savings. It was her very existence. And when she brought something, it was her that she brought. Jesus said, that woman there just put in more than everybody else. He said, what do you mean? She didn't put in anything but a little mite, nothing, less than a penny in our spending ability. But she put her life into it. You've got to put yourself into it. Now, here's the verse that I want you to notice. Verse number 2. Can we pop it up on the overhead so you can see this? Listen to what it says. I have prepared with all my might. Sometimes we give just because we know we can afford it. Or we give because we're good mathematicians and accountants. And that's good. You need to be a good accountant. You don't mean to be a fool. But when you prepare something with all of your might, it changes and it blesses the Lord. Number one, you're going to have to put yourself into what you give. Is that okay? Number two, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about how to bless the Lord with our giving. Here's number two on how to bless the Lord with our giving. It's found in verse number 3. Let me again read the verse to you, and then I'll share with you what it says that is absolutely dynamic, that bless the Lord, so that you and I could just follow. Remember, we're building our house. He that hears it and does it builds his house, and the storms of life don't destroy him because they bless the Lord. Here it is, verse number 3. Moreover, it says, because I have set my affections on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Here's number 3. Number 2 from verse number 3. Let love take you further. When love is behind your giving, it'll take you further than what you can think. I could be a husband to Deborah. I could supply her needs, and I could just be there for her. We watch television together, and she cooks for me, and I help her pick up the kitchen every now and then, and we live in the routine. But when I am in love, I go further than just living in the norm. I go further than just living in the average. When I'm in love, I don't just give. I give more because love took me further than what I thought I could do. Because I love my children, anything that I am possible that I could do, I do. Why? Because I love them. I love them more than I love myself. So therefore, what I have isn't important to me. It's more important to them. And that same attitude where love takes you further has got to be you love God more. And I've said it 1,000 times that we give because we love, not because we're trying to get something back. Right, is anybody listening? Now let's pop up the verse 3 again and let's take a look at what David really says here. He says these words, "Moreover, because I have set my affections, I'm in love with a house of God. I'm in love with a church that's doing something. I'm in love with a feeding of the poor. I can't get out there, but I know they're working at it right now. I'm in love with the parks that are getting kids that are hearing about. I'm in love with them in the hospitals. I'm in love with them in the prisons. I'm in love with them in the streets. Yesterday, they're out in the streets taking care of those that are homeless. I'm in love with this place. I don't just go to this place. It's my place, and I'm in love with it. And when I set my affections on the house of my God, I have given to the house over and above. That love took me further than I thought I was going to give, more than I thought I was going to do, because I'm now in love so much that it takes me further all that I have prepared for the holy house." In other words, love took me further. Love, let me say this to you, will always take you further. Further in your relationship. Further in your ability. Further, because love cannot fail. And so when you bring, not just because some big mouth preacher coerces you and takes his giftings to try to get money out of you, and therefore you feel guilty and you bring because of that, you have just missed the very principle of what this is all about. We don't give because some preacher tells us to give. We give because we're absolutely in love with God. And our love is taking us from here to there. Doesn't matter. I'm in love. I was saving for something. Most of you can figure out what that was. I'm just kind of like stashing a little money here and a little money there. A little money here and there. And had a pretty good stash. And then I went to a missionary meeting with Deborah, my wife. She, as they were taking up an offering for this missionary, she said these words to me. She said, "What do you think I should give?" I said, "Whatever you feel." And because she loves the missionary more than what I was saving for, what I was saving for went in the basket. And I said, "How much did you?" And she told me, I went, "You did? That's mine." She said, "You told me." Guys, let love take you further. That's what happened. That blessed the Lord. Let's talk about blessing the Lord with our giving, what made it such a blessing to God. Here's number 3, but in order to get to number 3, I want you to know that I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 of how to bless God with our giving. Here is verse number 6 and verse number 7, if you will. And it says these words. Verse 6 says it like this. Then the leaders... Wait a minute. Before that, it was David. So this isn't just about David. This is about the leaders. And it goes on in verse number 6, of the father's house, leaders of the tribes of Israel, captains over the thousands and the hundreds and the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. Verse number 7. And they gave to the work of the house of God. I love this. Offered willingly. Verse number 6. Look it up. Offered willingly. Here's number 3. Give from a willing heart. So many times we give and we're grudgingly giving. One man said to me, I love church. I love to sing. I love to hear the word of God. I love God. And I'd come to church more often if you guys would stop taking up offerings because I hate to give. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That guy's never going to get into the flow of blessing God by what we give. He's never going to be happy. He's always going to be stingy. When you give, you can't give because you can just, it's got to be something that comes from the depths of your heart. A willing heart. I'm willing to give up something of myself for someone else. David gave it all up. Gold and silver and slabs of marble and everything he could give up in order to have the house of God strong. What an attitude. What would it be like in America if we had that attitude in our churches that when we came in, we weren't just coerced by some big mouth preacher who takes his talents and is supposed to take that gifting that God gives him and by that gifting put the word of God in your heart. Oh no, he uses the gifting to extract finances from you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Your heart should be so willing that no one has to extract from you, but you willingly give. Is anybody listening? Because without that, man, we absolutely fail. Notice the verse again in verse, if you will, in verse number 6. Offers willingly. The leaders, not just David, but the leaders. What happens? David always is the leader of the leaders, but the leaders follow the leader. Is anybody listening? I want to take you, if I may, to number 4. In order to get to number 4, I want to read you out of verse number 9. But here's the subject. How to bless God with our giving. How to bless God with our giving. 1 Chronicles 29:9 says, then the people. Wait a minute. First it was David. Then it was the leaders. And now it's the people. Rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. Heard that word before. The leaders offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they had also offered willingly. There's that 3 times offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced before God. Let me tell you something. A real leader rejoices when God's people bless the Lord. Man, that's the most exciting time in my ministry is when people are excited, blessing God for what God's done in their life. Then the real leader's done his job. And he comes along and he makes this statement. Then the people rejoice that they had offered willingly because of a loyal heart. And here's number 4. Listen to this. As you see this, very important. Give from a faithful heart. Faithful heart, a loyal heart, is one that could be counted on by God. Counted on by God, that is loyal to, is not just here today and gone to Maui, but is here today and fighting a good fight of faith. A loyal heart, someone who's committed to the house of God, someone who's planted in the house of God, the Bible says, will flourish. Someone who's faithful, someone who God can count on. It might be tough times, because can I say something about tough times? Tough times make the offering even sweeter. Anybody can give in good times. But when it's like, I don't know, that means I'm going to be out if I give. Now the offering becomes good times. And how to change tough times to good times is this thing called a loyal, faithful, committed, you can count on heart. Without it, it doesn't work. And then, because of this, therefore, David blessed the Lord, the next verse says. Same exact example in your heart. Number 1, what we learned this morning about bringing an offering is put yourself behind it. Number two, let love take you further. Number three, give from a willing heart. And number four, give from a faithful heart. Now let me say this to you. There's different types of understanding of God's word. Many will say, give and you'll get. And that's true. But it's not completely true. Let me say it again. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But the type of giving he's describing is not giving just to get. And when you give just to get, even though when you give, you will get. There's a catch 22 in there that voids out the getting part for you, or the receiving part for you, when you give to get, because God's not some big slot machine in the sky. And will not be treated that way. Can you imagine having a relationship with someone, I only give to you because you give back to me. I love you whether you give back to me or not. That's called uncompromised love. And there's nothing wrong with saying you give and get because it's the truth, but it's a partial truth. And when you give with the right kind of a heart where you put yourself into it, and you were one who comes along, and not only you put yourself into it, but you let love take you further. And you had a faithful heart. And you had one who God could trust as a loyal person to build the house of God. Now that blesses the Lord. And may I say this to you? With that attitude, now God will open up the heavens. And we preach a lot about God blessing us, but not how to get the blessings to us. And if you don't understand the principle, you'll end up giving all of your money and wondering why you never got anything back, making the preacher nothing but a big mouth liar who flies around in his jets, and you got zonked. And all we need to do is realize, guys, this is something that we do from our hearts. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Oh, my. Woo! That is good, good, good. Trust me, that is maturity. And I'll argue that with anybody. That's maturity, and you can handle it. If you got something out of it, wave at me. Was it worth coming to church for today? Woo-hoo-hoo. Man, it is good. Right out of the scripture, God wants us to see it. Because he who builds his house on the rock is one who hears what's said and does it. Not one who just hears it and doesn't do it. Is anybody listening?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.